If you shop at Amazon, I have a request. When you shop at Amazon, don't go to Amazon.com. That sounds weird. How are you going to shop at Amazon if you don't go there? Well, don't go directly there. Start at pwtorch.com/Amazon. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. When you go there, there's a giant Amazon logo. Click on it. It takes you right to the Amazon homepage where you were heading anyways, but that small detour tells Amazon, we sent you there. And when they get that message, they send us a commission on everything that you buy. So it's a great way to support us without having to do anything different other than when you shop at Amazon, start at pwtorch.com/Amazon. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. Thank you so much for your support. Hey, if you'd like to hear this show without ads and plugs interrupting, there's one thing you can do right now to make that happen, and that is become a PW Torch VIP member. You get about a dozen other podcasts throughout the week that I host that are VIP exclusive, and you get the Wade Keller post shows and podcasts during the week with the ads and plugs removed, all on a separate feed exclusively for VIP members. Plus tons of other podcasts that are VIP exclusive, access to our full archives of podcasts dating back to 2004, which includes post pay-per-view roundtables dating back to late 2004. Also access to our full archives, thousands of podcasts, over 1,500 back issues of the Pro Wrestling Torch Weekly newsletter that started it all, ad-free access to our website, and more. Check out full details at pwtorchvipinfo.com. That's pwtorchvipinfo.com to get full details and then jump to our sign-up form. It's mobile-friendly, desktop-friendly. In 2 minutes, you can be a VIP member, show support for us, and we'll give you a lot in return, including a streamlined listening experience on your iPhone or Android device with the ads and plugs removed. Go check it out, pwtorchvipinfo.com.
Now, PW Torch brings you the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. It's time to talk this week's WWE SmackDown Live.
Hey Jason, what do you think is going on right now at the Styles household? And if Raw can have an overrun, why can't SmackDown? So we can see what's going on with Joe and AJ's family. This just feels wrong.
Oh, I'm glad that we only have 2 hours to get through this. It's been a while since we've had a good old-fashioned cliffhanger here. I figured this company forgot how to do these things, but I thought that was great.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they should send people to WWE Network for an exclusive update and get a bunch of signups. Joe was fantastic. I love Joe's character right now. I felt like I was in the minority in enjoying the story time. I've compared him to the heel, the villain in Cape Fear. I thought it was well done. My one little kind of straighten your tie critique of the segment is I wish they would have roughed up the letters on the mailbox. It was like just too shiny and new to seem real, kind of like cop uniforms, a little too ironed. So just make it look like it's been around for a while, throw some dirt on it. But yeah, I enjoy Joe and Styles and the dynamic that they have with Joe playing this character.
Yeah, well, I mean, Joe's been great throughout this entire thing. I've said, you know, to a bunch of people, I've debated about this, that Joe, in my opinion, is the best pure speaker outside of Paul Heyman right now on the active roster, Raw or SmackDown. So he shines in these segments. And I thought this was just the right amount of sinister, because here's a guy who, if you saw the last pay-per-view match, clearly was screwed. He clearly has a valid case. Yep. as to why he would be so upset. And it sent him off the deep end, and I was hoping it would. I was hoping we would see kind of a psychotic side of Joe that we haven't seen before, and that's exactly what they're giving us, and I think that's the right thing to do.
Now, my question is, there's a contract signing for a reason. Will the match take place if Joe isn't there to sign the contract?
Well, I mean, we're talking about semantics now, of course. He'll fax his signature over to Paige. Everything will be okay.
We are in an era of digital signatures, so I think we will
that
be
is
just
true.
Fine.
He'll send his e-file. He'll send his e-signature over.
Exactly. All right, well, let's set the stage here, because we got a lot to talk about. We have two on-site correspondents lined up, by the way. We had none last night. We got somebody today who was at last night's show, so we'll catch up on someone who went to... We'll catch up on last night's Raw, and he can compare the experience for Raw and SmackDown. Plus, we got mailbag, and we got people on hold we'll get to in a moment, right here on the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. We are covering the Tuesday, September 25th, 2018 edition of the program that aired live from Denver, Colorado. It aired on USA Network, and my guest co-host is back for the first time after a couple months, Jason Solomon from the Solomonster Sounds Off podcast. Jason, welcome back to the WKPWP.
Ah, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to be with you, Wade.
I look forward to catching up with you on the WWE product. Let's just go to calls. So much to talk about, but we'll let the callers lead the way. Those who have already called in and are on hold, thank you for that. If you want to join the callers in line, the number to call is 347-215-8558. That's 347-215-8558. Push 1 on your keypad if you want to be on the show. If you just call and don't push 1, we won't know you want to be on the show, and we won't bring you on the show. So push 1 to let us know. All right, let's begin with area code 410. You are first up on the caller portion. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, Justin from Baltimore, Maryland.
Hey, Justin, thanks for calling. What do you think of SmackDown tonight? What's on your mind?
Oh, it's great, great, like always. It always keeps going forward. But did AJ really think he was Joe could hear him?
I think we are going to buy into the idea that Joe could hear him. I mean, he was, in theory, holding up a phone with a speaker on it, and he had him in selfie mode with speaker on. So, I mean, why do you think you couldn't hear him?
It felt weird. It really felt weird. Like AJ was he was yelling at on his microphone, and I just don't feel like I feel like it was pre-recorded. So
it may have been.
I don't know.
I love Joe. Yeah, I mean, even if it was pre-recorded, I mean, it's a believable setup, you know, that Styles and Joe could talk to each other over a cell phone. So it didn't jump out. If it was pre-recorded, I thought they actually did a pretty good job with it. Jason, what do you think? Did it come across like AJ was kind of pretending, you know, Joe was pretending to listen to AJ, or did it seem like they actually did it, you know, somehow live?
No, I mean, it came across to me as totally, you know, a pre-recorded segment. I mean, I just assumed that that's the way they do most of these segments. Yeah. And it looked, you know, sometimes AJ would say something and Joe would talk over him. So to me, they did the best job they could trying to sync the two of them up. But it was pretty obvious that it was a pre-recorded segment. But again, I don't think it took away from it, at least not for me.
No, it didn't.
Yeah, that's where I am, too. Yeah,
Joe's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Joe is great. It was the best. Joe needs to be the champion.
Well, I've been saying that for months.
Unfortunately for AJ.
Yeah. What else, Justin? What's on your mind? Anything else?
No, not really. I just I wanted to check out the show. I've been listening since you started, and I'm not a VIP member, and I but if I have a couple extra dollars, I think I'm gonna try that soon.
I would love it. Thanks, Justin. If you do, let me know what you think. We love business. We're a business, and we love customers. I appreciate it, Justin. We'll hopefully talk to you one of these upcoming weeks. Call us back.
All right. Thank you.
It's good, Jason, to have a caller who agrees with us and underlines what we said in the opening minutes. Joe is phenomenal. But I'll take something Justin said, though. Should Joe be the champion of SmackDown, and if so, why? And do you have to take into consideration when you say that it takes the title away from AJ Styles and you're taking the belt away from a really good wrestler who's doing a really good job, who has a chance to have a really long title reign? So it doesn't come without cost. What's the argument for Joe winning the championship sometime soon, if not in Australia?
Well, I mean, AJ is coming up on one full year as champion. I talked about this on my show the other day. I feel like, you know, we've been inundated in recent years in this company by long title reigns, so-and-so, 500 days this, 400 days that. And I wonder if, you know, part of one of the very many problems with some of these shows is that because you have so many people who are champions for an extended, uninterrupted period of time, if that sort of takes some of the fun away and some of the excitement away, and maybe it wouldn't be better off sort of breaking up some of these reigns. And, you know, in the case of AJ, he's had a nice lengthy run, longer than I ever thought he would be champion for. He and Joe are coming up on, what, their third, fourth match now, I think. I don't know how much longer they're going to stretch this out for, but if they want to stretch this out a little bit longer, maybe even through Survivor Series, it gets pretty boring if Joe at some point doesn't win.
Yeah.
You know, we sort of went through this with AJ and Nakamura earlier in the year. Nakamura, they had probably almost half a dozen matches together. and he never won the championship. And so after a while, it just felt kind of dull. So I think for that reason, it would be a good idea to put the title on Joe, even though I don't think that they're going to.
I'm an advocate for long title reigns, but not always. I think they should be in the mix. And you're right. You want to pick your spot. I think the longer somebody holds a title, to a point of diminishing returns, the eventual title change means more. And I think we're at that point with AJ. I mean, I think had AJ played hot potato with the championship with Nakamura, then Joe beating AJ would mean less. But once you cash it in, so to speak, you know, and you have a title change, and it has been almost a year, you want to pick the right moment to do it. And I do think, absolutely, Joe is putting on the type of performance and just carrying himself in a way that says fans would buy in. And, you know, you want it to be part of a long-term story arc. You got to have something in mind at this stage for Joe for WrestleMania if you make him the champion. And you know, you have Daniel Bryan talking more about the championship now. Early in the show here, he said that's part of his mission, and I like to hear that. So it certainly sets a stage for that to be a potential feud. And that can carry, you know, after a rematch, that can carry them all the way through WrestleMania if they do it right. There's just not another babyface on SmackDown at this point other than Rusev. So my concern with Joe being champion is just how weak the babyface division is right now. I would have even picked Big E as like a top three guy to break off from New Day tag team matches and build him up as maybe a challenger to Joe, say at a Royal Rumble where you can, you know, have an undercard match, doesn't have to carry the show because Rumble will, but they jobbed him out tonight clean. It doesn't mean he can't still be rebuilt, but that's my main concern, Jason, is just I don't see a long list of dream matches. If AJ stays champion, there's a few more options there. And that's not necessarily the best reason to keep the belt on AJ, but it's the reality. To me, I think it's a reality of the situation that deserves some weight.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a valid point to make. I don't think there would be anything wrong with taking the title off AJ. You know, he is the hottest babyface on the brand, and it wouldn't be a terrible idea to have him chase for a little bit. I think if they do... if they do the switch in Australia, which, again, I tend to think they're not going to do, I don't know that Joe's going to have a very long run. In fact, I think they may, you know, I could see them playing hot potato and getting the belt back on AJ. I think that if you look at the bigger picture right now on SmackDown, you know, you mentioned Daniel Bryan. I tend to err on the side of Miz kind of getting that shot and beating Bryan at the Australian show. If that happens, it makes a lot more sense for Miz to be challenging AJ for the championship as opposed to Joe. You have two heels. It really wouldn't make a whole lot of sense. I know they haven't announced when the winner of that Bryan Miz match will sort of cash in on their title opportunity. I tend to think, you know, SmackDown 1000 is coming up in less than a month. That would be an awfully good place for it. So I just look at all the different signs and the heel, you know, the heels and the baby faces. And I just, as much as I would love to see Joe get a run with it, and I think he would knock it out of the park, I just don't know that the circumstances right now are pointing in that direction.
Yeah, and I mean, part of me just thinks, forget everything we just said about whether there's challengers or timing for WrestleMania, just give Joe a title reign. Like, I don't say that about anybody. Like, I don't think everyone should get their turn. It's not like, oh, you've been in the business for a long time, you get a world title reign. I think that cheapens what it means to be a world champion to do that. Joe is sort of that exception. I think he's so good and has been so good for so long.
Yeah,
and, yeah go ahead, yeah.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say, and one of the great things about it is, you know, Joe is a very popular guy, and so he was used to coming out even as a heel and getting cheered. He's so good at what he does that when he has found a way to come out and be so evil and sinister in what he does that people react the way that you would want them to. They boo him. They say, oh, my God, how can he do this? He's stalking this man's family. Now, you know, they're teasing that he's going to kidnap AJ's family. So he is a very... as likable as he is and people want to cheer for him, he's so good at what he does that he gets people to actually hate him and want to see AJ, you know, get one over on him. And I think that's a credit to the performer that he is.
Joe's the kind of guy that if he was on the PTA and all the parents agreed he needed a new playground at the school and Joe just sat there and crossed his arms and said, we don't need a playground, everyone will change their vote. You know, like, he's so believable and intimidating. You can imagine him in real life just being the guy who everybody cowers around and nobody wants to look at the wrong way. And I love that in wrestling. It's not, it's a business full of people cowering to Stephanie McMahon and authority figures and, yeah, oh, I lost my money in a shopping center mall and now I'm desperate for a job and I went to rehab and WWE saved me and I'm so grateful to have a job. Joe doesn't have any of that. He is a guy who rises above that. So, yeah. All right.
The good, the bad, and the ugly. The Salamonster sounds off.
Mundo goes to leave, and Taya says, wait, aren't you going to put any pants on? He just goes, no time for pants, and he walks off. That also happens to be Randy Orton's philosophy in life. My philosophy, too. You see, you don't know if I'm wearing pants right now or not, do you? You can't see. I could be wearing nothing right now, for all you know. No time for pants.
Salamonster sounds off. Since 2007, the Salamonster sounds off. Available at thesalamonster.com, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, iTunes, and more.
Let's go to our next caller here. 614, you're up, and then 814 on deck. 614, please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, Wade, this is Jordan from Columbus, Ohio.
Hey, Jordan, thanks for calling. What's on your mind tonight?
Hey, Wade, I was just amazed how the folks in Denver, Colorado, a city, you know, I was not expecting them to be chanting Milwaukee all night long. I'm surprised that that whole Rusev and Aiden English and Lana segment really went over. And I'm telling you, I wasn't quite excited about the breakup there because I think a matchup between Rusev and Aiden English seems one-sided to me. And I don't think there will be that much steam to the actual wrestling component of it, but I feel like now the story, I'm actually looking forward to SmackDown next week to see what video footage does Aiden have. And it seems like Corey Graves just could not contain himself with excitement, too. So I know he's looking forward to it. So I just want to know what you guys thought about the segment.
Absolutely. Thanks, Jordan. Yeah, I thought Corey Graves was a little over the top, a little cheesy in his response, but, you know, maybe more than a little. But, yeah, you talk about cliffhangers. You know, what happens when the door, when Styles, I assume his wife, answers the door this late at night out in Georgia. We also have the cliffhanger of the Milwaukee footage. How do you think they played that up, Jason?
Again, I thought they did a very good job of it. I like the key thing I think about tonight's show in terms of the main event angle and in terms of what they did with Rusev and Aiden English is the whole goal should be to get people to want to tune in the following week to see what happens next. And I kind of get the opposite feeling on Monday nights, but they are doing a great job of that on this show with these two stories. You know, like you know, we're saying, you have people chanting Milwaukee for the rest of the night. That would be like being here in New York and getting the crowd to chant Boston. It's just not something that you would see. But I think they knocked it out of the park tonight just in terms of setting their key stories up going forward, making you want to see what's going to happen next. And like, for example, in the Rusev and Aiden English situation, I don't know where they're going to go with the next. I can sit here and say that I don't know, you know, what direction they're going to go with. Now, it can go a lot of bad ways, yes, a lot of very cheesy ways, but I'm curious to see where they go with this.
I am too. I thought that English, Lana, and Rusev all played their parts well. I mean, they're, you know, when you look at Mike Rome asking Randy Orton a question, and it's like, you know, you get kicked out of acting class if you're doing that after day one. I mean, it just was terrible. The delivery of the line was just terrible. And those backstage.
But Orton's, I loved Orton, just to get off for a second, I loved Orton's response to that question where, you know, I thought that was fantastic.
I did too, because as someone pointed out on Twitter, that I have spoken those words on this show. so I very much was, I mean, if Randy Orton can challenge my gripes and then articulate them on SmackDown, I'm all for it.
He won you over.
What?
He's won you over.
Yes. But Mike Rome's question was just like, you know, just so scripted and inauthentic sounding and all that. But you have Lana and Rusev and English like doing these all these backstage segments. And I mean, there's some chemistry there. And I thought the acting was believable. I mean, in a wrestling context, I mean, I'm not saying if you put this on, you know, in a movie that it wouldn't stand out as over the top.
Yeah, but Lana is an actor. I mean, remember, she comes from that world. She is an actress. I would certainly hope that she has some innate acting ability.
Yeah. And the chemistry with Rusev and Lana, I mean, I'm sitting here saying it feels authentic, and you go, wait, guess what? They're married. But no, there is an authenticity to it in the way they play off each other. There's good timing. So I think that helps. And I'm a fan of Aiden English and his role in this. You know, there's a little bit of community theater last week where, you know, his earnestness was a little over the top, like he was in some Disney production. But that said, overall, he was good. He was really good this week. And so, yeah, I'm hooked. I'm curious to see what happens. Jordan, any follow-up for us? Anything else you want to say?
Beyond that, I think I was disappointed. What, we're 2 days into the new fall season. I think we had our first cancellation of the season with Proof TV. It looks like it may have met its end at the end of the match tonight. But I was really entertained by the opening there. I mean, Truth's resurgence on SmackDown has just been just a nice added bit of fun. I mean, he's super cheesy and over the top, but I think you kind of need that every couple weeks on SmackDown just to bring that entertainment level. And he's been money so far, and I like that opening. And I love Daniel Bryan seeing, you know, after they had their fun, it seemed like he got very serious at the end of that match with him and Miz staring down. And that's kind of that little slow burn I want to keep seeing building to their match leading into Australia.
Cool. Thanks, Jordan. Yeah, R-Truth's a bit of a guilty pleasure for, I think, a lot of people. I'm in that group. He is he's good at what he's doing right now. And, I mean, not everything works, but I'd say most of what he does is working right now. I got a big kick out of Carmella going, "It's time." And Truth goes, oh yeah, okay. 7-second dance break. I mean, I know it's recommended by fitness instructors. You get up from your desk and do 7-second dance breaks during the workday. That should actually be a requirement at all giant corporations, a 7-second dance break every couple hours. I thought it was fun. Where are you on it, Jason?
Yeah, I mean, I have no problem with it. I think Truth is the perfect comic relief as long as they don't overdo it. I mean, that's usually my issue. They sometimes go overboard with the comedy and then it's not funny. But Truth is, he's always an entertaining guy, whether he's doing a backstage segment. This was an in-ring segment that went on probably for, what, 10, 15 minutes probably to open the show, and the fans seem to enjoy it. So, you know, it's not anything to get offended over. I think you want to have a healthy dose of that on the show. And, you know, he's the perfect person to do it. Look, he's the elder statesman in that company. He's been around for a long time. And to his credit, he is as popular, I think, now as he's been in many years.
I agree. All right, very good. Let's keep rolling through calls here. 814 up next, and then 585 after that. 814, please state your name and the city you're calling from.
This is Ryan from Cumberland, Maryland.
Thanks for calling, Ryan. What do you think of SmackDown?
Good show. Couple questions for you. Do you think possible that Shinsuke Nakamura might be facing Rey Mysterio in his first feud back, because it looks like he's lacking challengers for his title after Ty Dillinger seems to be going after Randy Orton? And also, was that a prop for AJ Styles' house tonight? Do you know?
You mean, like, was it his real house?
Yeah.
I doubt it. I mean, what are the odds that he gets his wrestling name in bright white colors on his mailbox just in time for Joe to invade his home? I doubt that is the case. What do you think, Jason? Is Rey Mysterio and Randy Orton a good matchup?
He was saying Nakamura.
That's what I meant to say. Did I say Randy? Oh, I said Randy. Okay, never mind.
You have Randy Orton on the brain, my friend.
I do. Yeah.
Right, you may be his next victim. So I think I talked about this on my show. I was outlining, you know, 3 to 5 potential opponents, because I'd like to see Rey go to SmackDown. That was always his home, you know, traditionally back in the day. I look at the rosters and I just think it would be a better fit for him.
Yeah.
And of the matches I'd like to see him in, Nakamura is one opponent. Cien Almas, Bryan, I think they would all make for fun matches. So, yeah, I think that would be a fine idea. It would put him in a, you know, a semi-major feud right out of the gate, and it would give him a new opponent to face, and it's a big match that we haven't seen before. So I would be totally fine with that if that was the direction they wanted to go in.
Is Rey Mysterio, if he has signed a 2-year deal with WWE, as there's some reports he has, is he a world title contender? Like, if we talk about if Joe wins a championship, there's not a lot of babyface opponents. Could Rey go to go to the world title level at this point in his career, and would it be believable for him against Joe, or do you see him in kind of a different spot at this stage of his career, more in a supporting, not a guest star, but a legacy star role?
I would like to see him in that legacy star role, but as far as the question, like, do I see him fitting into that role or being believable? Absolutely, 100%. And if for no other reason, because these are shows, frankly, that are lacking star power. And I think as good as SmackDown can be on most weeks, you were just talking about it a minute ago, you get beyond AJ and Bryan, and you have this void as far as big baby faces on the show. And Ray is still a star from that period that people love to romanticize. He was a world champion at one point, so you know you can't say that, well, I can't ever see him challenging for the world title because he's already been there, done that. So because I think of this lack of star power, when he comes back, it benefits him because I think you know people will look at him in a way that makes him bigger perhaps than he normally would be made out to be. So can I see him challenging for the world title? Yes, but what do I think the best role is for him? I think the best role for him would be more of a kind of a part-time role where he gets to have different programs with fresh opponents that he's never faced before. I keep coming back to Almas. I just think Ray and Almas as a feud to put Almas on the map on this brand is just such a fantastic idea. I hope that even if it's not right away, I would love to see that as a WrestleMania match.
I'm with you. I think that'd be a great matchup, and it would help put Andrade on the map at a higher level. Just as, you know, AOP, mix it up with the Shield, you know, helps elevate them. You want to get newer guys in there with legendary names and have them hang with them and share the spotlight with them, and that helps establish them as top stars.
Wrestling fans, if you're looking for a unique and entertaining way to get your wrestling podcast fix, check out Ring Rust Radio. Ring Rust Radio uses its trademark brand of banter to cover all professional wrestling you love, including WWE, NXT, New Japan, Lucha Underground, ROH, Impact Wrestling, and more. We also hold sit-down interviews with some of the biggest names in the history of the business, such as Stone Cold Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Chris Jericho, Kurt Angle, Trish Stratus, AJ Styles, and Roman Reigns. For those of you who want their wrestling with a perfect mix of serious analysis and comic relief, find Ring Rust Radio dropping every Wednesday night on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's go to 585 next. Thanks for calling. Please state your name and the city you're calling from.
Hi, Wade and Jason. This is David Miller from Canandaigua, New York.
David, hey, another fellow New Yorker.
David, thanks for calling again. What's on your mind?
Yes. So it's definitely an above-average show from top to bottom. R-Truth is, I think, the most entertaining of his career at this point. Definitely a guilty pleasure, as we said. It was a safe night because Brie Bella wasn't there. Got to hear Corey Graves drool over Mandy Rose a little bit. Samoa Joe was excellent. He is just the greatest heel going right now. And I called him last week with a couple of points, and I've actually flip-flopped my position completely on the number one. I said I wasn't really looking forward to an Aiden English Rusev feud, but after the story they set tonight, they've got me hooked too. I'm like, okay, this is interesting. I can't wait to see what happens next week on this. This is really good. And the other thing is, I said that I thought they might be getting somewhere with Becky Lynch as a heel. And I don't know. She was, again, thoroughly unlikable tonight, and the fans just cheered everything she did. At this point, I'm starting to think that she could probably kick a puppy in the middle of the ring, and the fans would still cheer for her.
I would hope not.
I don't know what they can possibly do. I wouldn't either. But I mean, there's really no baby faces on SmackDown right now that I think the fans... She was the top most... she was the top baby face, really, on SmackDown. And there, I don't think there's anyone she can face on SmackDown, any baby face, certainly not Lana. But there's no babyface I think that she can take on in SmackDown right now that would get the fans against her.
Jason, what's your take on the status of Becky Lynch's heel turn?
It was just a foolish idea from the beginning to even attempt it. I mean, it's been obvious for a long time. She is probably the most beloved female figure on that show. And I know they've been trying their hardest. They're so stubborn when it comes to Charlotte, and they're going to continuously fail unless they kind of wake up and come to their senses and just kind of read the tea leaves here. People do not want to boo this woman. And we saw Charlotte when they first cut to her during that photo shoot before she got attacked. She was already getting booed. Then she gets attacked. People cheer. It's just their attempts to get sympathy for Charlotte. It's just not working. And it's not going to work. And I think what Becky is doing is great. I think they've gotten to a great place with her. It's been just this organic. The fans just love her naturally. And I say just continue to do what you're doing with her without having her come out and get cheap heat by yelling at the fans or blaming the fans, because I just don't think that's necessary. But Charlotte is the one who I think is just really miscast here. Do you agree? I mean, I just look at this and I go, I think she would thrive. And even just the story itself, I just think she would be so much better in that other role. And it's hurting the story, but it's hurting her, I think, more than anything else.
I'm with you 100%. And I was going to point out the tone deafness of having, you know, like the storyline is Charlotte gets all the attention and Becky is, you know, sort of the forever bridesmaid in the women's division. And so she finally gets a title shot and then Charlotte shows up and magically gets one match and now she's in. So you got this storyline totally. If the goal was to get Becky to be booed, that all is bad. So then this week, what do we have? Becky's your champion. And what do they do to get sympathy on Charlotte? Have her doing a photo shoot that Becky with her title has to crash and take over. I mean, they're just underlining the beef that fans have with Charlotte, or the perception, I guess I should say, more than a beef with Charlotte, the perception that Charlotte is favored even now that Becky's champion. And so, I mean, hey, let's have Charlotte do a photo shoot. Have Becky come in and have to beat her down in order to get her picture taken. Becky's the champion. She should be getting the photo shoot. So they just, they're not helping Charlotte here with the booking. Charlotte's done nothing wrong. I mean, she's fine. She really is. She's better as a heel than a babyface, but she'd be a fine babyface. But no, she's matched against somebody who the fans absolutely love. Just because Vince McMahon and Kevin Dunn, you know, don't understand why, to put it nicely, because they have a certain image of what every man in the world wants to watch on a wrestling show. They have to open their ears, Jason, and sometimes listen to the fans and not push against it.
Well, you're asking for a little too much, Wade. I mean, come on now. And look, they may still yet get there. They're having another match in about, what, a week and a half or so. They're going to have the Australian show. Maybe at that point they'll come to their senses. Maybe that's where the story is headed. But just think about the absurdity of this. So you have Becky a few weeks ago, and like I said, thankfully they've gotten away from this. But after she did what she did at SummerSlam, she comes out on TV, cuts this great promo, I thought, except for the fact that she was blaming the fans. You were never behind me. As she's saying this, people are cheering for her. Meanwhile, you have Charlotte, who, as you said, has done nothing wrong. She's coming out and getting just mercilessly booed every single week. There's a disconnect here, and it would be very easy. It's so simple for them to one little tweak just to fix this, because Becky blaming the fans makes no sense. Charlotte blaming the fans would make total sense.
Oh, I know.
So if you want to turn her and you want to do that, you know, make the switch, that's all you need to do is have her come out, start healing on the fans, because she would have a legitimate reason to do so.
And I think what WWE has in mind is there's something else in mind for Charlotte that they think is bigger than what's going on with Becky. And so, well, we need, if Charlotte's going to turn heel, it has to be later against this other person. Or we need Charlotte to remain babyface for this other person, whoever it is down the line. And maybe it'll become apparent later and we'll go, oh, that had to be a tough choice for him, but now I see why they did it. I disagree, but at least they had our argument for it. If we don't see that 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 months down the road, then they absolutely positively should have switched mid-course. If not by now, very soon. It's not too late for an audible in that regard. And yeah, I mean, as David points out, the crowd continues to cheer Becky despite anything and everything she does. Although I would say interrupting the photo shoot as Charlotte gets all the attention and glory, even as a former champion, I mean, the sympathy's on Becky obliviously here. David, any closing words from you?
Yeah, just one quick question for you and just a quick thought. Speaking of the Australia show, do you think the Iconics might be cheered on that show?
I would expect so. I mean, they can try. They can say, you know, we used to like Australia, and then we went to America, and we found out, you know, what a trash heap Australia is, and you know, turn the crowd. I mean, that works generally, but my hunch is, you know, they'll be that they won't do that because WWE will find value in having them play up their Australian heritage.
Yeah, I mean, I would be stunned if they're not. And actually, I think there's a cruiserweight title match on that show as well. And Buddy Murphy is challenging for the championship. I think he's from Melbourne, so there's another example. I'm sure he'll be the hometown favorite going into that match.
All right, let's try to squeeze another call or two in before we go to our first onsite correspondent. 917, you're up, and then we'll probably close out here with 203. 917, please state your name and the city you're calling from.
Hey, Wade. My name is Valentino. I'm from New York, but living in Miami currently.
Well, Jason, how do you feel about that? A New Yorker moving to Miami.
I don't blame him. I wish I could do the same.
Wow. We're talking about the Iconics turning on their country. He just turned on New York.
Hey, well, you know, we got the United Nations here in New York all of this week. And if you know New York traffic, imagine that multiplied by 10. That's how awful things are here right now.
I understand. Valentino, what's on your mind tonight?
You have a 347 number, Wade. I know that you're from Minnesota area, but I was surprised to see the 347.
That's just the switchboard that we use.
Got it.
False advertising,
right there.
Yeah.
So I really enjoyed SmackDown. I thought it was good. The standouts for me were Becky Lynch and Wade. I listen to you every week, just like rave about how great she is, and I never agree with you. I'm not a Becky fan. She just always seems like very, very bland to me, and just not entertaining. But lately, you know, with her heel turn, I guess I still have been, you know, reluctant to get on the bandwagon. But today, I don't know, I think it was something about the backstage segment with Lana, and it was very Attitude Era ish you know, where like a top star just, you know, is in the back and they have an exchange with another, you know, superstar, and it was just really great. She handled it great. She just it was nice to see it, you know, build up to a match later on, and it was just really cool. It reminded me of like The Rock or, you know, Stone Cold, which is like the Stone Cold Becky Lynch comparison that we keep getting.
Yeah, we got like a brief glimpse of Stone Cold Bailey, and now Becky's become Stone Cold Bailey, or Stone Cold Becky, excuse me. And I mean, it is part of why people like Becky now, is they liked her before, but now it's a new it's this new Becky, and they're like, well, we like this version too. I don't think fans are protesting this version of Becky. They just don't want to boo this version of Becky. I think they're happy with either version of Becky. Jason.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. Look, people like Attitude. There's a reason why the Attitude Era is so, you know, romanticized by so many people. You know, when you have that edge to you, you know, people tend to gravitate towards people like that. So, again, I don't know that she hasn't gone too far off the heel end of it. She's just showing an edge and an attitude. And, again, people, I think, can empathize with her because they agree. She's been overlooked. She hasn't really been featured much in the last couple of years. Now she's finally, you know, taking the bull by the horns, and she's saying, look, I'm going to, you know, grab the opportunities for myself. I'm not going to wait for them to come around. And people probably agree and say, you know what? She's right. She's been overlooked, and it's about time that she has her chance to shine. And she's getting it right now, and the people are behind her.
Valentino, anything else for us?
Yeah, I also like the R-Truth and Carmella 7-second dance break. I thought that was awesome. It was definitely cool. And I told my girlfriend earlier, and I'm sure she only halfway appreciated this, but something about seeing Carmella, you know, outside the ring during the R-Truth match just also felt just really, really like natural. Like it's just nice seeing like somebody accompany somebody else to the ring that's not like the New Day, I guess, accompanying each other, or, you know, Cesaro and Sheamus. Yeah.
Some might say Carmella is better at ringside than in the ring, but that would be mean. Valentino.
You would be right.
Thanks, Valentino. Appreciate your call.
Wade, thanks so much. Jason, thanks again.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. We got to cut away. Our on-site correspondent's waiting for us. If we didn't get to your call, just email us, wadekellerpodcast@pwtorch.com. wadekellerpodcast@pwtorch.com. And Jason, how do you feel about us taking a 7-second dance break?
I will let you lead.
All right. Here we go. All right, well, for all my complaining about Denver on yesterday's show, Denver stepped up today. We had more volunteers to help us out than we could get on the program. Later on, we are going to talk to somebody who, if it works out, went to both Raw and SmackDown the last two nights. We'll kind of catch up on yesterday and get his perspective comparing the two events. But we have Porter with us first. And Porter, you attended the event. But you did not stick around for 205 Live or the dark match. Is that correct?
Well, actually, they had 205 Live before.
Oh, okay.
The Big Facts Challenge was afterwards.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, of course. Yeah, rearranging. So tell
which
us.
Which I forgot about, too.
Yeah. Well, did you get there in time to see 205 Live? Do you want a little.
Yeah, we got in there and saw Hideo.
Spoiler alert for everybody who's watching on Wednesday.
Yeah, sorry.
That's
spoiler
okay.
alert.
Yeah.
versus Ali. And that actually was a pretty interesting match. It went to a 10 count out of outside the ring.
Huh.
There was a flip off the top rope onto the side of the I think it was Ali hit it on Itomi, and they both fell out of the ring, and the guy had 10 count. So it's kind of an interesting something you don't see every day. And then the next match was Brian Kendrick versus some jobber, and that was about maybe a 30-second match. And then Drew Gulak and Jack Gallagher came out with Kendrick, and Drew Gulak beat up the jobber some more afterwards. And we got the middle of that first match. So as far as I know, they did not advertise a dark match. And I know I told you before, I was only going to stay for a dark match if it was like AJ Styles versus Daniel Bryan.
Yes.
So now this is the part where you tell me that's what I'm missing right now, because I didn't hear anything advertised when you left.
It's going on right now, and apparently they're just tearing the house down. And I heard a rumor they're going to a 60-minute draw, and it's going to be fantastic.
That's right.
And you brought your 6-year-old son with you. Has he been to a wrestling show before?
This is his first WWE event. We actually went to a local indie show about a year and a half ago, and he was a bit younger, but he was much more into it this time around.
Yeah, he'll never forget this experience. I mean, that's pretty young to go to your, well, I don't know, a lot of people bring 6-year-olds, but I assume at age 6, you're going to have long-term memories and kind of appreciate what you're seeing.
Yeah, I think I remember my first show around 6 or 7, so for sure.
Yeah, well, feel free to sprinkle in, as we talk here, any reactions he had or, you know, things that,
sure,
that you
sure.
saw through his eyes differently. Talk about the crowd size in the building, and because they didn't pan the 360 degrees of the crowd, so I assume a decent amount was empty or tarped off.
It was pretty sparse. I'd say between 4,000 and 4,500.
Yeah.
It had about 3/4 in the lower bowl, and a couple of suites were occupied, but the whole club level and upper level were all tarped off.
Would you consider it a crowd that was very into the show and enjoyed what WWE was serving up?
Yeah, I would. You know, I mean, yeah. I think, you know, the size of the crowd, I think it kept away, you know, some of the kind of nonchalant fans. It seemed to be a pretty pretty excited, pretty into it crowd. There really wasn't any dull spots in any of the matches either, or any kind of boring chants or anything like that.
Go ahead, Jason. Ask our correspondent Porter a question.
Well, actually, I was going to ask about the crowd, more so about SmackDown, just to get your reaction overall throughout the night, in terms of overall crowd energy and response. I mean, what was your read on the reaction tonight during SmackDown?
You know, I really think it was pretty energetic all the way through. I mean, I think, you know, I know SmackDown's had smaller crowds the last few months or so, but I think for Denver, it definitely was, you know, more diehard fans there versus your nonchalant fans. The energy was pretty, you know, the R-Truth segment, you know, the crowd chanted for R-Truth right away to open the show, and it pretty much stayed, you know, hot until the end when lights went out, when Joe rang the doorbell.
Who would you say got the biggest star reactions of the night? Was there a top single person who did, or maybe a group of 4 or 5 who all are pretty close?
Yeah, I'd say, you know, AJ by far at the end was pretty loud. Daniel Bryan to start the show was pretty loud as well. And then I think I have to say Asuka got a big pop, surprisingly, a little bit. And then New Day was probably the top four tier above everybody else.
How about Randy Orton showing up? He always gets that heel pop or just the legacy.
He did.
Pop.
Yeah, he did. You know, it's interesting because the crowd was kind of into Ty a little bit, but the crowd was really into Shinsuke. And then once Randy came in, there was a whole other set of the crowd that was cheering for him. So it kind of had 3 different sections of people cheering for all 3 wrestlers in that match, or that encounter, I should say.
What, was there any part during the 2 hours where they lost the crowd at all, or it seemed like the crowd was just kind of taking a deep breath?
Not really. I mean, I was really surprised. I was looking for that and waiting for it, you know. And I think, you know, one thing that I kind of noticed this time around, which I've heard from different reports and different shows, is that really we could not tell when there was a commercial break.
they had quite a bit of action going on during the commercial break. The Miz, R-Truth match, I finally caught on during the – there was some kind of a test of strength they were having in the middle of the ring, and I kind of caught on that was probably the commercial break. And then – but I just read your report, got home, and I didn't even realize that the Sheamus-Big E match had a commercial break because it was pretty action-packed the whole way through.
Yeah, yeah, and it wasn't super long either, so it'd be weird to you know, imagine that there was a dead spot in there. Yeah,
right.
I mean, SmackDown, I felt this episode just, you know, pretty much flowed. I mean, there didn't, you know, we didn't have any self-aggrandizing, you know, pro-corporate charity segments. We didn't have excessive video packages. So I would think this would be a show that would have served the audience that paid money to be there, in addition to being a good TV show.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, the crowd was pretty into Asuka, so they were into that match. And then, you know, the Becky-Lana match, I thought the crowd was, you know, I was kind of expecting a Becky chant, but the crowd was more interested in chanting for Milwaukee instead.
Yes, yeah. That's just, I was not calling that ahead of time, I will admit. I was not expecting Milwaukee chants in Denver for SmackDown today. Jason, anything else you want to ask Porter about the whole thing?
Yeah, well, what your thoughts on the cliffhanger to end the show? I know Wade and I were a big fan of going off the air like that, just keeping people wanting more, being in the building. What were your thoughts on ending the show like that?
It went over really well. I mean, my six-year-old son loved the line "Daddy's home" at the very end. It got a big, you know, ooh from the crowd as the crowd went out. You know, the lights went out. The crowd was totally into it. I think what sold it is the fact that they had that earlier shot of Samoa Joe's locker room. And so, you know, in the arena, so people thought that he was going to be there, and to have him appear from far away, you know, the crowd was pretty captivated by that, I think.
Did you feel disappointed at all that you didn't see Joe in person? I assume he did not show up magically at all in person at all.
Not unless he's in that great dark match I'm missing right now.
Oh, Joe's been added. Yeah, now it's a triple threat.
Yeah. a little bit disappointment. I mean, more of a disappointment that, you know, Daniel Bryan and AJ didn't wrestle on the show, you know, minus the dark match that we're missing here. I think AJ was probably the biggest disappointment, and Daniel Bryan dressed up in street clothes.
Yeah. The one thing about SmackDown when you buy tickets is there's just no guarantee that you're going to see you know, even the majority, like more than half of the top stars actually wrestling on the show. And I think it's good for a TV show to rotate the talent and not burn them out with matches every week. But from a live experience, yeah, you can actually go to a SmackDown show and you didn't see, when you bought tickets, you thought I might see AJ and Daniel Bryan and Jeff Hardy and the Usos wrestle, and you got none of them in the ring.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I don't mean to make you sad. It seemed like you had a moment.
To your point, I mean, the show flowed well, and you know, getting to see Daniel Bryan, and he stayed in the ring during the commercial break, and he actually did some dancing with R-Truth and Carmella. So, you know, he appeared to be engaged with the crowd when he was there. So you didn't feel like you were missing an appearance from him, I think.
Now, crowds are usually not super enthusiastic for 205 Live after SmackDown ends, but they're usually enthusiastic for whatever comes first before TV shows begin. With the, Mike Kanellis can get the pop of the night sometimes if it's the first match of the night. So, how did the crowd react to 205 Live being the start of things? I know you weren't there at the very beginning for the ring entrances, but did it seem like the crowd was engaged or just waiting for SmackDown to start with the real stars, so to speak?
Well, I'd say, the whole crowd wasn't there during that time. We walked in during that match, but the crowd that was there was definitely engaged in the Ali Itomi match. And then again, the Brian Kendrick match was so short that the crowd was booing they were booing him and his beatdown, that jobber, after Kendrick beat him down too. So, I think, you know, generally more than, you know, I would say after SmackDown, it definitely played better beforehand.
And then for Mixed Match Challenge, did everybody stick around for that, or did it seem people started filing out?
I wouldn't say everyone stuck around, but I was really surprised. We were kind of, you know, walking through people as we were walking up and out. A lot of people were staying. They had a couple of promos that, you know, those promos, I guess, they showed on TV. They aired them in the arena as well. And so, Mickie James, and then Leo Rush came out right away and, you know, hyped up Denver's own Bobby Lashley. So I think that may have played a factor in it too. But a lot of people pretty much stayed, at least for the first part. I mean, we were walking out.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Because with the Mixed Challenge, you're getting some of the other wrestlers from the other brands to kind of keep people in their seats, because it's additional stars they haven't seen already. What did you what do you think the highlight was for your son?
Well, I mean, he was really talking about the Daddy's Home line at the end. But yeah. I definitely thought, like, some of the cool spots in the 205 match, a couple of the flips they did when we first walked in were pretty impressive to him. I think he liked the – what did he like? He liked the Daniel Bryan, R-Truth, Carmella dancing. They're doing the floss, which all 6-year-olds do.
Oh,
you know?
Yes, so. Yes.
He was into that.
And did he have like a favorite wrestler going into the night? Like does he watch on TV enough to have favorites?
Not really. He doesn't really watch too much with me. The last time he watched a match with me, I had him watch a Shinsuke John Cena match about a year ago or so. And, he recognized, Shinsuke from that match.
Yeah.
But, I asked him ahead of time, do you want me to tell you who to cheer for and who to boo, or do you want to just do it on your own? He's like, no, tell me who to cheer for.
And, it won't be long before he's rebelling against you, so you might as well take it.
Right, exactly.
And it comes around age 7 or 8. If you don't mind saying, what'd you pay for your tickets? Where'd you sit? And did you think it was a good value?
Yeah, we bought them right from the website. We paid $65 plus the fees, and we were right in the lower bowl, about 7 rows up, in the corner of the ring, between the ring and the stage.
Oh, that's
so
great.
Pretty good seats, really good seats. Yeah.
Yeah, those are really good. Cool. Anything else, Jason, you want to ask of Porter?
No, I think Porter has really hit all the major points. He's like a pro.
Yes, yes. Porter, anything else you want to add? Merchandise or other observations or commercial break stuff? Anything that you left off that you made note of?
Not really. Like I said, I mean, I think one of the biggest things that surprised me was just how I was unable to tell in the matches and the actual action in the ring when it was actually a commercial timeout.
Yeah.
I didn't go by the merch stand, so hopefully my other Denver residents will step up and give you some details about that. But, it was a good show, had a great flow. The crowd was into Becky a lot. The backstage segment when she attacked Charlotte, the crowd was really into her. I think the crowd wanted to get behind her in the match, but it seemed like they were kind of rushing out to stop a Becky chant almost. And then right when the match was over, she kind of took off and got up the ramp with the lights out. It wasn't really soaking in the cheers or soaking in the crowd.
All right.
And then I'm trying to think, the only thing else I would say is, yeah, I think the other cliffhanger, the other kind of point, plot point was the Rusev Day Milwaukee drop. That the crowd was really into that. And the crowd started chanting Milwaukee quite a bit throughout, through the rest of that segment. And then through Lana's match as well.
Very cool. I appreciate it. Well, Porter, will you take part in our 7-second dance break before we get to our next correspondent?
That's right.
All right. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Sure. No problem. Thanks, guys.
You bet. Thanks for being a VIP member, too.
Sure. No problem.
Excellent. All right. So now we are joined by Aaron, who attended not only SmackDown tonight in Denver, but Raw last night, so we can kind of get an idea of what the two shows were like back-to-back nights. Aaron, welcome to the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. Glad you took time to talk to us.
All right, no problem. Thanks for having me.
So are you just exhausted from two nights at WWE or energized? How do you feel after doing back-to-back nights?
Let's say I was exhausted. This is actually my first time going to a live show, so on both of those nights, so. It's had a pretty good time.
That's cool. Yeah, I didn't know that when we set this up, that you hadn't been to a live show before. What kept you from going to live shows before, and what lured you to go this week?
Well, a lot of times in the past, it kind of conflicted with my work schedule. I get off kind of late sometimes, and I just really haven't thought to go before, but I decided to go, and I was able to make some time to end up going these past 2 days.
Are you a newer fan or just someone who just was happy watching on TV?
I was fine watching TV. I've been a fan for a while. Kind of got back into during the Attitude Era, that time frame. So
yeah. Oh wow.
Been kind of watching it ever since then. So.
Oh yeah, that's a long time. I mean, for most people, that's a long time. I can't believe the Attitude Era was like doesn't feel like just yesterday to me anymore, but I was a fan for a long time before that. But it has been long enough that if you were a fan in the Attitude Era, you are a long-term fan, not a newer fan. I can certainly classify as that. So, tell me this. I'm going to try to ask you some little different questions than usual to keep things fresh here. How did going to Raw for 3 hours and change feel different than going to SmackDown and seeing, you know, 205 Live at the beginning and then Mixed Match Challenge afterwards? Did you have a preference at the experience, and did anything jump out to you since these were your first two live shows?
I'd say SmackDown certainly was a better experience. Definitely flew by faster than Raw did.
Yeah.
But I think I had a good time at both shows, though.
Let's go back to Raw last night for a moment, and I want to ask you about the charity segment. With Stephanie and Hunter in the ring and the Hyundai representative and the kids. I mean, certainly, you know, the kids were having a blast and it was, you know, touching and all that. But from a live experience, I think most people there paid money to watch people fight, not go to, you know, kind of a charity telethon type event. How did the crowd endure that, or did they embrace it and think it was cool? What was your sense of the vibe in the building?
Well, my sense of the vibe, the fans pretty much enjoyed that. And, they did say you deserve it to the kids. I'd say they enjoyed the segment pretty well.
And did you think the pacing of Raw? You said SmackDown went swiftly. What was the pacing of Raw like compared to SmackDown? What do you think the differences were between the two nights being in the building?
The pacing was a bit slower. It was just the length of the show of Raw just kind of seemed to make it drag mainly.
Now, from watching on TV for years, what surprised you most about being there in person? I some people say I thought there would be announcing. It was kind of weird watching matches without, you know, announcers talking in my ear. Other people have different observations. Just for watching for this long and then being in the building, did anything kind of surprise you about that experience?
It was a little different. Not watching the matches without commentary enough. Well, I certainly noticed later they kind of like the ring near mainly the sound stepper. You heard that on TV. You kind of saw that work going down there. So definitely interested in seeing how they put the show together.
Going back to last night with Raw, what was the crowd? How would you assess the crowd's reaction to Roman Reigns? So there was that kind of remarkable standout moment during the Shield promo where Seth talks and everyone's cheering the Shield, they're cheering him, and then Roman holds the microphone up to his mouth and begins to talk, and it just turns into boos, and Roman stops in his tracks and kind of laughs like, oh God, what do I got to do? And the crowd's booing him, and then, you know, later on in the night, you know, he's active in the ring too. How would you assess the crowd reaction to Roman? Did it get better as the night went on, or did they stay kind of hostile towards him?
It was better for the most part. During the match at the end of the night, there was a few boos battered around, but he didn't take any too bad. It was certainly a lot better than it was at the beginning of the show.
Did you stick around last night after Raw went off the air to get a sense of if anything else happened after Raw went off the air?
I did stick around.
Yeah, so what happened after Raw went off the air?
After the shows, the segment kind of involving the Shield and Baron Corbin and Strowman, Ziggler, and McIntyre. Strowman, Ziggler, and McIntyre kind of was something wrong with the Shield for a while now. Also, during that segment afterwards, the Shield ended up messing with Baron Corbin a bit. Corbin was trying to act like he wanted to be part of the Shield, and Dean Ambrose, after a while, he asked the crowd what they wanted the Shield to do with Corbin. Kind of gave him three choices. One was just have him join the crew, and second choice was to say the Shield just beat up on Corbin, and the third choice he gave was he wanted him to sing the song "My Little Teapot." That was kind of weird. The fans kind of chose that third one. Corbin wasn't really into it too much. And that time might have been the time that it was wrong with Strowman and Ziggler and McIntyre. But then a little bit after that, Corbin kind of sung the song a little bit. And after all that went on, the Shield ended up doing the triple power bomb through a table after all that went on. That's kind of how the night ended.
I don't think you probably expected that your first in-person pro wrestling arena experience would end with wrestlers singing, "I'm a Little Teapot." You always get to have that memory, Aaron. Nobody can ever take that away from you. They'll say, what was your first wrestling match like? Well, it ended with the top heel singing, "I'm a Little Teapot." So, yeah, you get that. Jason, go ahead and chime in with a question for Aaron.
Well, I was going to say, I think we got to have Wade start writing comedy on Raw because Aaron's hysterical here. let me ask you this. One of the big stories coming out of Raw last night, unfortunately, was the injury to Liv Morgan. I don't know where you were sitting or where you may have been positioned in the building. When that happened, when she got kicked and got knocked loopy by Brie Bella, is that something that you, from where you were sitting, noticed and could tell right away that something was wrong, or did you not realize that until after the fact?
Yeah, I didn't realize it until after the fact, though. It was when I actually came back home and started reading about some things when I found out that happened. Wasn't anything I noticed immediately.
Yeah, it had to be weird, like, seeing just two wrestlers the rest of the match, if you picked up on it. But I guess with all the, you know, if you're just watching the action of the ring, you might not think twice about a wrestler at ringside not participating after getting knocked out. You might think they're just selling. But yeah, that was quite the conversation piece coming out of Raw last night. Who would you rank, Aaron, as the biggest stars of the last two nights? Like, did one or two people stand out, both Raw and SmackDown collectively, as, yeah, those were the biggest stars for sure? Or was it a cluster of four or five or six people?
Let's say people I got the biggest reaction, especially this is so fresh in my mind from tonight, was AJ Styles and Daniel Bryan. Certainly got big reactions. Trying to think who had the biggest reaction from last night.
Lashley probably got a nice reaction from the Denver, being with the Colorado connection.
Well, yeah, Bobby Lashley did get a good reaction. Yeah, being from town, everything, yeah.
And how, the Shield...
New Day also got a pretty good reaction as well tonight. That's what I noticed as well.
Oh, who did tonight?
New Day.
Oh, yeah. New Day. Yep. And as far as last night went, was there a most popular wrestler of all? I mean, you had Ronda Rousey, Seth Rollins, Bobby Lashley. I'm trying to think who else would have been in the mix. Jason, help me out there. If somebody else jumps out, who might have been the top babyface on Raw last night? Dean Ambrose. Like, anyone jump out as the most popular on Raw? I guess Ronda wasn't there, so that wasn't a live crowd experience.
Yeah, I've made show clips of things Ronda was in, and certainly got some cheers. But as far as who was there, played off Rollins and Lashley probably got the best reactions, I'd probably say.
Yeah.
Just speaking of
I'd say Lashley got one of the best reactions he's got since he came back to WWE.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Aaron, what was the worst part about going to Raw WWE, Raw and SmackDown the last two nights? Was there any aspect of it, either the logistics of dealing with going to a wrestling show in person or sitting through certain segments or aspects of it? Anything that wasn't fun?
I didn't really say that. I basically enjoyed myself throughout the two nights. Basically, this was my first time going.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not really disappointed me that much.
The novelty factor is still there. Well, if you don't mind us asking, what'd you pay for your tickets? Where'd you sit? And do you think you got good value for your money?
After everything was said and done, I paid about $45 each night. I wasn't able to sit in the same seat each night because I decided to get the tickets a little bit later. I was about across from the stage mainly, kind of like in the main seating area. It wasn't the fight ring side. A bit behind that, just in regular seats. And SmackDown was kind of opposite the hard camera. Kind of almost in the same area, but just kind of on the opposite side of the hard camera.
For the mixed match challenge, we've heard from people saying it has kind of a different feel to it. The wrestlers kind of lighten up their mood a little bit, they're more playful, it's less serious. What'd you think about the way the mixed match challenge was presented at the end of SmackDown tonight?
Yeah, wrestlers certainly were a bit more lighthearted. There was a portion of during a match that the Miz and Oscar were involved in, then he would point to himself and the fans would boo and point to Oscar and they would cheer. Just one significant thing I noticed from
Did the crowd stick around for Mixed Match Challenge?
A lot of the crowd did. I did see a few people leave before Mixed Match Challenge began, but a lot of the crowd stuck around for that.
Yeah, good, good. And did they advertise any dark match after Mixed Match Challenge, or was Mixed Match Challenge the main event for the whole night?
Yeah, Mixed Match Challenge was it. They said good night after that. That was said and done.
Did they advertise any matches that you know of that they didn't deliver on?
I'm sure they did. Like I say, I paid a lot of attention to a lot of that and checking what matches were advertised.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, cool. Aaron, I appreciate you talking to us tonight and telling us about your first live wrestling events. You got a My Little Teapot on Monday night and a 7-second dance off on Tuesday night. So you got some memories to cherish.
All right, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it. Thanks. All right, we are back for the mailbag segment of the program. Jason, before we get to the email questions, tell the listeners how they can hear you more often.
More often. I think once a week is enough. But yeah, if you want to listen to the Sound Off, is a weekly podcast, drops every Sunday. You can get it a variety of ways. TheSolidMonster.com is the website. You can stream or download it from there. We were just added to iHeartRadio, so that is a new option for those who want to stream the show. And we're on most major platforms, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and the like, talking wrestling of all sorts, obviously mostly WWE, but we dip into New Japan, NXT, even a little bit of MLW of late, and take your mailbag questions just like Wade does on his show. So you can check that out every Sunday.
Cool. Awesome. All right. Social media, how can people follow you?
Very simple. You can follow me on Twitter at Solomonster or on Instagram at, I guess, The Solomonster would be my handle on there. See, I'm not really, I'm neglecting the Instagram. I don't know if you do this, Wade, but I kind of forget that it's there. I feel like I'm getting old and grumpy.
I have Instagram people.
Oh, okay. Well, I know there's Instagram stories and I got to get hip to all this stuff. So the best way is on Twitter, at Solomonster on Twitter.
By the time you get hip to it, it'll be like yesterday's news.
Oh, please. Twitter will buy Instagram out.
Yes. All right. Let's get to the mailbag. We got Eric from New Jersey. He said, I wanted to get your take on the Miz Bryan dynamic in WWE's execution of the storyline thus far. Personally, I'm really enjoying the way they've incorporated Carmella and R-Truth, even though Carmella's face turn feels a little random. Although now that I think about it, I think I remember her getting some clean wins in the past few weeks. Either way, I'm excited to see a babyface Carmella, despite how good her character was as a heel. Also, do you have any insight into the Miz Bryan dynamic behind the scenes? When I watch them go back and forth on the mic, I can't help but wonder if they're friends or at least friendly backstage. Sorry for the long email. Love the show. Everyone should go VIP. Oh, P.S. One more note on Carmella. I know she got a lot of criticism for her in-ring abilities during a title run, but I get the sense she's been genuinely trying to improve by snugging up and trying out a new spot or two. Has anyone else noticed this? Jason, your take.
Yeah, I mean, I noticed when she was champion, there were certain moves she was incorporating or trying to incorporate, whether or not she was successful in improving from where she had been, I guess, is in the eye of the beholder. I wasn't really too thrilled with her run as champion. I think as a character and a personality, she's fantastic. I think in a lot of ways, she's like Alexa Bliss. I don't know too many people who would rave about Alexa, you know, as from an in-ring perspective. I think there's a lot of people on the Raw roster who would be and should be ranked ahead of her. And I think it's a similar thing with Carmella on SmackDown. But she's got a great personality. You were kind of joking earlier. Oh, maybe the role for her is, you know, a valet for someone. When she introduced Daniel Bryan tonight, I even thought for those 5 or 10 seconds, she did a hell of a job as a ring announcer. You know, so maybe, who knows, maybe her forte in the future is in a different position. But that was sort of my take on her. As far as injecting Truth and Carmella into the whole, you know, dynamic, I don't really think it's necessary. I mean, I get they're trying to promote the whole Mixed Match Challenge thing, but just focusing on Bryan and Miz, I'm sure they don't hate each other's guts, but do I think they're friendly and they hang out backstage? No, I don't think they do.
I've heard that, you know, when the things were getting really heated between them on Talking Smack, that they were just afterwards, you know, hugging and celebrating and really happy with their performances and that there wasn't, you know, any legit heat there. Now, that's not, sometimes, you know, people congratulate each other for a good segment, but deep down they're like, I can't believe he went there. But I don't sense that that's the case with Miz and Bryan. But yeah, I don't get the sense that they probably are similar people outside of having a passion for their jobs and, you know, pride in their jobs, I guess, and pride in what they do as characters. All right, up next, Paul Ellenridge, New York. I remember how Brian James was saying he just wants fans to pick a side when it comes to Charlotte and Becky. Sure, seems like with the writing that they are trying to force the fans to pick Charlotte. Becky clearly came off as the heel tonight, attacking Charlotte backstage in a segment and the segment with Lana. It definitely feels like they're trying to make the fans cheer that cheer for Becky feel bad because of how she acts. Haven't they learned their lesson with Roman Reigns? Listen to what the fans want. Don't tell them. My last thought is R-Truth is entertaining. My last thought is R-Truth that entertaining that being associated with him gets Carmella to be a babyface again, or were Miz and Maryse that hated his heels, or was it both? I was wondering where Ty was during that segment, but he got a U.S. title match. Did he learn from R-Truth's lessons that to get that? I just want more Truth TV. It was actually fun. It seems like R-Truth is trying to make Carmella and Bryan break. That's a good observation. Like, R-Truth does seem like somebody who's trying to, like, get the people who he's around to, like, laugh at something that he's doing and the way that he delivers it. People love R-Truth behind the scenes. Have going back to the TNA days, as Ron the Truth Killings. I mean, people just, there's a reason he's stuck around as long as he has. He brightens up the room and people love him. And I think that, Jason, the fans are getting a chance in these segments to get to know Truth a little bit better and his kind of unique personality. And I've sort of felt guilty at times enjoying some of the stuff that they've been doing with him, but I'm feeling less guilty lately because I just think the material is better, but it's still serving him and his kind of offbeat sense of humor more. They found a way to write for him, I guess, and giving him some freedom to shine.
Yeah, and that's the key. I was kind of wondering that myself because I find myself enjoying most of his segments and finding them genuinely funny. I can't say the same for most comedy segments in WWE, so I wonder how much influence perhaps he's having in these segments. But like I was saying earlier, I mean, I just feel like you need that right balance of comedic injection into the show. It kind of reminds me, you know, back in the day, were they silly? Yes, but I enjoyed the hell out of the segments with Booker T and Goldust, and that was sort of the comic relief of those shows. They worked well together, they had good chemistry together, and over time Goldust just sort of transitioned from being a serious character to somebody who you can rely on for comic relief. And I think Truth, it's the perfect role. You know, he doesn't have to, the focus isn't on in-ring. You know, again, right. People don't realize he is an older guy compared to a lot of the other, you know, faces on the roster. So it's not like he has to rely on in-ring stuff. He can shine in other ways. I think there was even a rumor, I don't know how true this was, that at one time anyway, he had filmed, was it a game show pilot, I believe, for the network? And I guess that it just didn't go anywhere. But like, I could totally see him in a role like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I could too. I think there's going to be popular demand for Truth TV to come back. I mean, I think people are genuinely not wanting this to be a one-off.
Yeah, no, look, my only request, I wish they would go old school with these things and they would kind of build a little set for him. So instead of being in the ring, he'd have his own little set kind of in the corner of the building and he can bring people out and, you know, kind of like we used to have the Brother Love Show and all these segments back in the day. I think that would be the great, you know, the perfect role for him.
I agree. They're just so addicted to that crowd being in the background of every camera shot, and I don't think they need it. I got a kick out of how the Kevin Owens show moved back to the ring now that they don't need the stage to completely collapse, you know. Right. Could they be more orchestrated about that? All right, let's go to Robert from Pittsburgh. He said, hey, wait, I just wanted to mention that the pairing of Naomi and Asuka is really working for me. Yes, I'd like to see Asuka still undefeated plowing through everyone. Asuka and Naomi, though, seem to really like each other. I could see these two riding together, going out to eat together, etc. Also, tonight, it dawned on me that WWE seems to be pairing a lot of the mid-card women off into groups of two or three. This makes me really suspect a women's tag title could be imminent. Thanks for your time, and go VIP, everybody. Thank you, Robert. So, a couple things there. What do you think of Naomi and Asuka, Jason? And are we looking at the stage being set for a tag title?
I am not a huge fan of the Naomi Asuka pairing, just because I think it's just, I think Asuka could be and should be doing so much more. Right now, Charlotte and Becky, they have the spotlight for the championship, but I just think you know, you can certainly, I think, promote a new face or two, a female face from NXT to the SmackDown roster, because that's the thing. I do think they're lacking a little bit in terms of just the number of female talents on the show. They could benefit, I think, from a new face on there and maybe kind of feuding them with Asuka. One thought I had before they had announced this tag team match for the Australia show was, and actually this is more an idea for Evolution that I had, you know, Asuka could issue some sort of open challenge and just, she's obviously doing the more, I don't want to say comedic thing, but she's got this kind of buddy pairing with Naomi. Look, I'm sure some people enjoy it. I just, it's not the role that I envision for Asuka. It's really just, I feel they could be doing a lot more and getting a lot more value out of her instead of her just being almost like an R-Truth type angle or an R-Truth type situation. Even though once she's in the ring, you know, she's not the kind of person you want to find yourself, you know, sort of opposite in the ring with. She still has that toughness. She won the match tonight. That's great. Maybe I'll warm to it. It is something for Naomi to do because, you know, we could talk about how Asuka didn't have a whole lot going on. Naomi didn't either. You know, Naomi was sitting in the back most weeks. I'm sure that didn't, you know, please her very much. So for her, it's great because it gets her a role on TV. But I just think Asuka could be doing so much more than that. And then what was the second half of the question?
Yeah, the tag team title possibility for women's division.
Yeah, I mean, I figured from day one when they announced this all-women's pay-per-view that they were going to build maybe some kind of tournament, have the finals at that show. If they're going to do women's tag team titles, I don't know why you wouldn't pay it off on a show like that. So they haven't announced anything yet. I think Stephanie McMahon made a comment many weeks ago saying that, you know, they would consider it, but they weren't going to do it in time for this pay-per-view. I don't know that I buy that. I do think we're headed down that road. And I think that's exactly why we're seeing a lot of these pairings lately, because they're gearing up for some kind of tag team women's tournament.
You would think, based on Raw and SmackDown this week, that they have canceled Evolution. I mean, they can't get in mention right now. They've got so many events to promote. I'm not even complaining, but my God, it's off the radar.
Yeah, and look, I get all the reasons why they're doing the Saudi Arabia show. They have, you know, for business reasons, this is great for them. They could have a big stadium show in this country and then go to a different country less than a month later and have another stadium show and make a whole bunch of money. The trade-off there, it's kind of like the three-hour Raw thing. When Raw went to 3 hours, oh my God, I guess it's been about 6 years now. But when Raw went to 3 hours, yeah, I'm sure USA was and is paying them a whole bunch of money for it. But the thing that I feared was audience burnout. Well, look where we are now. I mean, we just had the Raw ratings come out this week, and this may have been one of the lowest, if not the lowest, Raw rating of all time. And don't think for a second that the length of the show doesn't have something to do with that. You know, burnout is a real thing. You run this many special shows at once, they don't feel so special.
Yeah. No, you're right. And they're using up matches that in kind of rapid fire and having to book different finishes than they would otherwise if they were pacing things at a normal level. And by the way, they snuck on there a little sticker shock for some people that you got to get up at 5 a.m. in the East Coast, 2 a.m. on the West Coast if you want to see this show live. So turn off your alerts on your phone, and when you wake up Saturday morning, go watch. Now, hopefully they don't spoil it on their website, like what the results are if there's a title change, because some people log on to the network through WWE.com or, you know, whatever, and it's like, they got to be careful about these.
Well, they'll spoil it right there on their own Twitter feed. They've done that before, too.
I know. It's so short-sighted.
Now, is it 5 a.m. Eastern or 4 a.m.? I thought maybe it was 4 a.m.
I thought it was 5 and 2. I thought that's the times they put up on the screen tonight on SmackDown. But check. You got a week or so to check. So.
Well, I'm not waking up at 5 a.m. on my birthday, so.
Oh,
I'll watch it at 7 a.m. How about that, Wade?
You can just stay up all night. It's your birthday.
Now, what are you? Are you an hour behind me? Are you an hour behind where we are here in New York?
No, we move when it's 8 there, it's 7 here.
Ah, got it.
Yeah. All right. Milo in L.A. says, I might be the only one, but I really enjoyed Truth TV tonight. See, people watched that and enjoyed it and felt guilty and thought nobody else is enjoying this, but I have to admit I liked it. But no, people liked that segment. Yes, it was silly, but I really think silly is something WWE needs to do more of. It beats Miz TV in the same cliche heel talk show. Plus, it gives Truth and Carmella something big to do on SmackDown rather than wrestle and lose every week. I've been really enjoying Truth's recent mini push comeback, and I'm disappointed this opportunity to do something with him only lasted the first couple of segments for SmackDown. Your thoughts on Truth would be great to hear. Thanks. Well, I mean, we already talked about Truth, but I wanted to read that in part because people do think, like, I think you watch that and you're like, God, that was funny, but should I admit it? Should I admit that I liked it? And people are sort of like, I'm willing to admit it. That was fun. That was fun. Hashtag 7 second dance off. So, all right, we'll move on though. Alicia, Cincinnati. Hey, Wade, I have to say my life was changed after the all-women's pay-per-view was announced. Please don't my sarcasm. She says in parentheses. I attended the Cincinnati Raw when they made the pay-per-view announcement, and I have to admit that I was hoping more for a women's tag team belt championship. It seems that there have been more women tag matches in the past few weeks, especially given the match tonight with Naomi Asuka versus Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville with the Iconics on commentary. Are the belts inevitable? That, by the way, I haven't heard mentioned once tonight, although the Super Showdown has been mentioned at least once with every person with a microphone tonight, referring to the Evolution pay-per-view. Thanks, as always, great content. My husband, Micah, and I love the podcasts. I think, you know, with the Women's Tag Championship, and I meant to mention this and when the last emailer brought it up, I think it would be tough if they add another title. I mean, it's tough enough with a dual brand pay-per-views getting the U.S. and IC titles defended. But if you put the women's tag match, I mean, it can be on the kickoff show, and it's not a, you know, terrible thing if that happens. But it's one of those, to me, you could have that as an attraction where that title gets defended more often on the TV shows. And you could have, and again, this kind of breaks from the format of what they do now, but have one tag team championship and have the champions, whoever are the title holders, float between the two shows, because there's just not enough women teams to really have a full-fledged division. And I know we've had tag divisions before where it's two teams, you know, feuding with each other endlessly. Rock and Roll Express, Midnight Express, Freebirds, Von Erichs. I mean, there's classic examples of that over the years, but it would be different, and it would allow the tag matches on Raw to mean something for contendership, because the winner of this match next week faces the women's tag team champions who are coming over from SmackDown, and you kind of get that brand rivalry year-round with the women who aren't in the singles title hunt at that exact moment. And I have mixed feelings about it, because if you're going to do a roster split and you start blurring the lines, it can kind of snowball. But overall, I don't know if... Do you have one brand with tag titles, or do you introduce two sets of tag titles? Then you just have too many belts, and they're never defended on pay-per-view because there's not room.
Yeah, I don't like the idea of having two sets of tag team belts. I just think it's overkill. And to what I was saying before, at least on SmackDown, I just don't think there are enough women to do it. I like the idea that you proposed of having one set of sort of floating tag team champions who do go cross-brand. But let's remember here, Corey Graves is an announcer on both shows. And so it's not like they haven't blurred the lines in other ways up to this point.
I think Paige did ban Brie Bella from SmackDown after Raw last night, though. I think.
Well, I certainly hope so. At least, you know, for unsafe working conditions, if nothing else. I mean, my God. Actually, that's one of those things. You know, when John Cena would float back and forth, they said, oh, he's a free agent. And I guess the same applies for the Bellas, because we've seen Brie on both shows, and Nikki, who just wrestled on Raw this past week, last I checked, was still on WWE.com on the SmackDown roster.
Yeah.
So I guess once you earn legendary status in this company, you earn the right to float back and forth, which maybe that's the idea. Maybe the Bella Twins are going to win the tag team gold, and they'll be able to float. They'll have a reason to float between Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah. All right, Zach from Texas just wants to rave about SmackDown. He says, how good is SmackDown right now? R-Truth and Carmella have surprisingly good chemistry. I think Mella has finally found her perfect partner for her niche. Danny Bryan had to feel a little awkward explaining how to excuse a proper yes kick, how to execute a proper yes kick, knowing his wife did it to Liv Morgan the night before. I thought that was like, I don't know if that was on purpose or what. You know, he's like, well, here's how you do a proper yes kick. You got to row your hip to get more power and all that. I'm like, you shouldn't be talking about yes kicks right now, Brian. It's too soon. So anyway, the Irish badass Becky Lynch continues to be the best part of the show, and I love that she got a sustained Becky chant off of a video attack of Charlotte. I could watch her whooping the hell out of Charlotte every week, and it would never get old. I also find it very telling that they put her in a match with Lana, knowing full well Lana wasn't going to get cheered over her. Speaking of Lana, too, it was brilliant how they added another layer to the Rusev Day drama with the suggestion of a one-night stand between Aiden and Lana in Milwaukee. SmackDown is such a quality show right now. By the way, Zach, I think Brian James will be looking to follow you on Twitter. So after that, he's very happy with that. It is. SmackDown is a better show right now. It's not just because of 2 hours, and it's not consistently great, but it is the better show, I think, with the better talent. It's not bloated, and they do have some of the right mix of silliness, and silly isn't always good. In fact, in pro wrestling, it's often not good, but they're pulling it off, and there's enough going right now that and also the fact that you don't get burned out seeing everybody every week, I think, is a positive also. It leaves you wanting more.
Yeah, I agree. To me, there's never really a reason that people have to be on every show every single week. Raw, the issue you have there, you have an extra hour to fill. And so you don't always have the luxury of holding people back because you have TV segments that need to be filled in there. SmackDown has a leg up on Raw in that respect. They can it's almost like cycling talent out where they're only there every few weeks. So I think that helps. I think you made an important point, which is that SmackDown is not consistently great. I do think it's consistently better than Raw. But it definitely has its weak moments. I thought that this week was one of the better showings for all the reasons that, the person just outlined. And we talked about it at the top of the show. You have these two key storylines right now that left you wanting more and wondering what's coming next. And I think that's an important part of the formula that makes SmackDown work so well.
All right, another compliment for SmackDown. Cyril in Edmonton says, I know 80% of the mailbag is Becky Lynch right now, and deservedly so. Actually, it's more R-Truth this week.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, but I loved how she is expanding her presence beyond just destroying Charlotte every chance she gets. Stoking the fire between Rusev and Lana was great, although it just makes me continue to cheer her. She is the MVP all over the show. The only way for WWE to turn Becky heel is for her to not want to be a PW Torch VIP subscriber. Very well done, Cyril. Cyril? Kyril? C-Y-R-I-L. I need a pronunciation on that. That's not sure, but
Cyril.
Cyril?
Yeah.
All right, cool. We'll go with that.
Yeah.
Justin says, I think Ray returns on episode 1000. That's all he said. Cyril also says, sent another email here. What if Joe going to AJ's house ends just like Stone Cold going to Brian Pillman's house? That'd be a nice throwback. And in regard to Aiden's video evidence next week, wouldn't it be funny if it was a video of Carmella when she was blonde, and then they could continue to confuse Carmella and Maryse and Lana? I don't know. Let's leave the writing to the professionals. I don't know, but that might work. I mean, R-Truth getting Maryse and Carmella mixed up, and then that being the excuse for Carmella to change her hair color is kind of fun.
That would be an amazing piece of storyline consistency there. Attention to detail that we don't normally see on this show, so I would not hold my breath on that.
No, I would not. All right, Jason, thanks. Been real fun talking to you again, and we'll have to do this again.
Always. I'm glad we had a great show to talk about this week.
Excellent. We'll wish you luck with the Solid Monster Sounds Off podcast. Everyone, check it out. You can hear them every week. Be sure to check out the Blue Brand, the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast. This is the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. We cover Raw and SmackDown every week here on the Red Brand, but later in the week on our Blue Brand, we have our Flagship Thursday show and Interview Friday or Mailbag Friday. This week it'll be an Interview Friday, so stay tuned for news on that. And the plan is for PW Torch VIP analyst Todd Martin to be on the Flagship this week. So check that out. That'll drop first thing Thursday morning. And of course, just search Wade Keller in iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and just about any podcast app that might be installed on your iPhone or Android device. Just search Wade Keller and be sure you're subscribing to both the Red Brand and the Blue Brand. And then be sure to subscribe to the PW Torch Livecast. The latest show is Talking Honor with a focus on Ring of Honor. We also have tomorrow, show on NXT. The day after will be the Best Of. Last Friday, by the way, the Best Of show was an interview I did with Jerry Jarrett 5 years ago. Fascinating history on the territories, banding together in the mid-80s to try to take on Vince McMahon in New York. It might not be something you're familiar with, and you can hear Jerry Jarrett, the architect of it, or one of the keys involved in the power brokers involved in that, talking about it, plus so much more. Really fascinating interview. You will be smarter and know more about wrestling history, things you didn't even know you didn't know, if you check out that interview from last Friday. And then Rich Fan with a deep dive on Saturdays, Wrestling Night in America on Sundays, and then it is MMA Talk for Pro Wrestling Fans on Mondays, and somehow I skipped over the Post-Impact show on Thursdays. So every day, a different show with a different format throughout the week. It is free. Just search PW Torch. You are missing out if you are not also adding that to your podcast app and your podcast lineup. You might not listen to all the shows. Maybe you're not in ROH, but you're into NXT, or maybe you're into Impact Wrestling, but not in MMA. Whatever it is, but subscribe. There's a real good array of shows there, a new one every day worth checking out from my colleagues at PW Torch. Check out pwtorch.com for the latest news, flashbacks, editorials, and live pay-per-view coverage. It's updated every day with articles you will not find anywhere else. So no matter what other pro wrestling websites you're visiting on your phone or desktop, add a PW Torch link or homepage button or bookmark or tab to your browsing. That's pwtorch.com. That includes my live coverage of Raw and SmackDown and WWE pay-per-views and just about every wrestling TV show covered, live event coverage. If you attend a live wrestling event, a house show, a live event from ROH or anybody, please send us results. PWTorch at PWTorch.com is our email address for sending news and results. If you got a news tip on wrestling, about anything that might be worth passing along to our listeners and readers, or you attend a live event, send a result. Say the city, the date, who beat who, number the matches, talk about the match quality, the match finish, crowd reaction, any of that stuff. Share with other lists, other readers, what it was like to be at that event, and we'll publish it on pwtorch.com. Also, check out mmatorch.com. MMA heating up with Conor McGregor, Jon Jones, Brock Lesnar, all returning in coming weeks and months. mmatorch.com. And then finally, pwpodcasts.com is your home for written reviews and recaps of pro wrestling personality-hosted podcasts. We are looking for more volunteers to help us cover some additional podcasts. There's some prime shows that need coverage right now, so drop me a line at wadekellerpodcast@pwtorch.com. If you are interested in helping out, there might be some perks down the line if you're a reliable contributor, so send me a note, wadekellerpodcast@pwtorch.com, if you're interested in helping us cover some podcasts that you might be listening to, or you just want a good excuse to listen to if you haven't made time already. Follow me on Twitter at TheWadeKeller. Follow our brand at PWTorch. On Instagram, follow us at PWTorch. On Facebook, you can like our brand at facebook.com/PWTorch. And you can also friend me on Facebook at facebook.com/WadeKellerTorch. I'm probably most active on Twitter and at the Twitter at TheWadeKeller account, but we post on all of them, so check it all out. That will do it for me for today. Thank you, everybody. Thanks to Jason Solomon from Solid Monster Sounds Off for joining me again today for a great conversation on SmackDown. Thanks to our two on-site correspondents, our great callers, and our wonderful emailers. Until later this week on the Blue Brand, this is Wade Keller signing off. If you shop at Amazon, I have a request. When you shop at Amazon, don't go to Amazon.com. That sounds weird. How are you going to shop at Amazon if you don't go there? Well, don't go directly there. Start at pwtorch.com/Amazon. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. When you go there, there's a giant Amazon logo. Click on it. It takes you right to the Amazon homepage where you were heading anyways, but that small detour tells Amazon, we sent you there. And when they get that message, they send us a commission on everything that you buy. So it's a great way to support us without having to do anything different other than when you shop at Amazon, start at pwtorch.com/Amazon. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. Thank you so much for your support. Hey, if you'd like to hear this show without ads and plugs interrupting, there's one thing you can do right now to make that happen, and that is become a PW Torch VIP member. You get about a dozen other podcasts throughout the week that I host that are VIP exclusive, and you get the Wade Keller post shows and podcasts during the week with the ads and plugs removed, all on a separate feed exclusively for VIP members. Plus tons of other podcasts that are VIP exclusive, access to our full archives of podcasts dating back to 2004, which includes post pay-per-view roundtables dating back to late 2004. Also access to our full archives, thousands of podcasts, over 1,500 back issues of the Pro Wrestling Torch Weekly newsletter that started it all, ad-free access to our website, and more. Check out full details at pwtorchvipinfo.com. That's pwtorchvipinfo.com to get full details and then jump to our sign-up form. It's mobile-friendly, desktop-friendly. In 2 minutes, you can be a VIP member, show support for us, and we'll give you a lot in return, including a streamlined listening experience on your iPhone or Android device with the ads and plugs removed. Go check it out, pwtorchvipinfo.com.